Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say. Romans chapter 1. Start in verse 22, as we're talking about people who worship something other than God. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, even a fish. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who worshiped the truth, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So even the Apostle Paul, does he say it's okay to worship whatever you want to? He says, no, worship God and God alone. No idols. Don't do it. So in verse 10 of Revelation 22, it says, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That's different from what Daniel was told. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, Daniel is told, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So how long was the book of Daniel to be unintelligible? Until the time of the end. So when did the time of the end begin? Back in the first century with the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah. So at that point, John's told, don't seal Revelation. It's the time of the end. The time of the end is 2,000 years long. But to God, that's just a couple of days. So what do the words of the prophecy of this book tell us? What characterizes one of God's saints? He keeps the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua. Where do we find that? That's Revelation 14, verse 12. Let's look at Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, 12 reads, quote, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. So if we are to keep the words of this book, what should we be? If we want to be saints, we should be keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Can you have one without the other? No. So verse 11 of Revelation 22 says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, people still have the right to decide for themselves. Do I want to follow the word of God or do I not? We can teach, we can preach, we can exhort, but you can't force people to change. They will change or they won't, depending upon what they decide. And in verse 12, the words are read. Messiah says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, not soon, but quickly. When the Lord's coming begins, it's over quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and see the rewards for believers. For those who have the faith of Messiah and walk in the commandments of God. Let's see if it's worth it. Yeah, not to burn for eternity. Yeah, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 3:11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Messiah Yeshua." I mean, there is no other way to be saved other than by faith. There just isn't. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't buy it. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that is, how do you live your life once you get saved? Do you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, or with wood, hay, and straw? What happens if you put gold or silver into a furnace? It refines it. It becomes more pure. What happens if you put wood, hay, or straw in a furnace? It burns it up. And that's what the scripture is trying to say. Once you get saved, you're going to be judged on how you live your life after that point. This is called the Bema Seat Judgment. It's a judgment for rewards. It says, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day," what day? "The day of the Lord will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, that is his gold, silver, or precious stones, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Salvation is by faith, not by works." But would you like to have rewards when you come to heaven? Okay. On to Romans chapter 7. But Paul said, well, let's go look and see what Paul said. Romans chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Paul says some bad things about people who are trying to keep commandments to earn salvation. Because earning salvation by works is not possible. He makes that very clear in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" Meaning, is following the law sinful? "Certainly not. On the contrary," he says, "I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, 'You shall not covet.'" He says, I wouldn't have known, I wasn't supposed to do it, if the law didn't tell me I'm not supposed to do it. What happens in the heart of man when God says, "Thou shalt not do something"?
I want to do that.
Yeah. It says, "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead." Meaning, before I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, I didn't want to do it. But as soon as I learned I wasn't supposed to, then I wanted to do that. He says, "I was alive once without the law," that is, before I knew what the law commanded, I was alive. "When a commandment came, sin revived and I died." He's saying the wages of sin is death. As soon as I knew God told me not to do something, I did it. "And the commandment, which was to bring life," that's its purpose, "I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment," not the commandment, but the sin, "deceived me, and by it killed me." He says, "Therefore the law," the Torah, "is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." There's nothing wrong with the commandments. It's the evil nature that caused me to say, "I don't care what God said, I'm going to do it anyway." That's bad. Okay, back to Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12. We could go to a dozen different scriptures, but we've done it so often lately that all say the same thing, that our reward is based upon our works. Did we keep the commandments or didn't we? That's not a judgment for salvation. Salvation is based on faith. The rewards are based on how do you live after you get saved. Just to make sure I'm clear. Verse 13 reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, which in Hebrew, which this originally was written in, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. These words are very, very important because John was facing a world where the believers were getting off path and there were some very bad doctrines being promulgated, and he wants to put this one to rest. Turn back to Isaiah 44, verse 6. If I remember correctly, the doctrine was called Docetism. And it taught that Yeshua is not God. Yeshua is just a man with two human parents who was unlucky enough at his baptism to get chosen. You're now going to be the Messiah. No. Isaiah 44 verse 6 tells us, thus says the Lord. See how Lord is spelled? That's the tetragrammaton. That's the Lord from the very beginning. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. Who's the King of Israel? Messiah Yeshua is the King of Israel. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, reiterating, we're talking about this is Messiah. This Lord is Messiah. He says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. They say, I am the first and I am the last. Now turn to Revelation 22 and look at verse 13 again at the red letters. I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, I am the same Lord that you read about from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament. Throughout the New Testament, it keeps saying the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And people just ignore the word Lord as if it's just an unimportant modifier. And Messiah is the Lord God is trying to tell us that Yeshua is the Lord from time immaterial, as in I am the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what he's trying to tell us. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I've read to you before, but let me read again from my Liberty Bible Commentary, the Volume 2 on the New Testament from page 854, their commentary on this verse. It says, quote, the AV, meaning the Authorized Version or the King James Version, has unhappily utilized a Greek text here that is faulty and teaches what the rest of the Bible denies. That is salvation by keeping the commandments. Rather, comma, salvation comes by symbolically washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So the Liberty Bible Commentary from Liberty University, which is a King James only school, and would just about behead you if you took an NIV into the classroom, says here we should have used the NIV text instead of the King James text. These words are inspired. God gave every word to the translation, except here.
Even the word Easter.
No. I know. It just blows my mind. Does this verse teach salvation by works? It absolutely does not. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter through the gates into the city. What it's trying to say is, only those that are saved by faith will obey the commandments of God. This is how they demonstrate the truth of what they believe. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. verses 3 to 6. Now by this we know that we know him. So it answers the question, how do I know for sure that I am saved, that my faith is real? It says, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. This isn't teaching salvation by works. It's saying that those who are saved will follow the commandments. And if you choose not to follow the commandments, then it's because you don't really know him. And I put my margin in Matthew 7, it goes the other way too. In Matthew 7, it says, he'll say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, for I never knew you. And those are frightening words. Back to Revelation 22 as the clock is winding down. Verse 15 says, but outside, that is not in the New Jerusalem, in God's kingdom, outside are dogs, that word refers to homosexual prostitutes, and sorcerers, that word refers to druggies, the word is pharmakia in Greek, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 23. How many of you have heard people get on TV, I know you all have because I have, and say the New Testament does not say anything against homosexuality? It most certainly does. Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 to 18. There shall be no ritual harlot, that's a prostitute, of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one, that's a homosexual, of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot, that's the female prostitute, or the price of a dog, that's the male homosexual prostitute, to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. Enough of that. Back to Revelation 22. I know, that's very powerful. Verse 16, I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. And then in Revelation 2 and 3, it keeps saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. The root means I came before David, and the offspring means, and I came after David. So Messiah existed before David was ever born, and then Messiah was born into the world as an offspring or a descendant of David. It says in the bright and morning star. Let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 41 to 46. This stumped the scribes and the Pharisees so badly that they never asked Messiah another question. Verse 41 says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Yeshua asked them, saying, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Meaning, who does he descend from? They said to him, the son of David. In other words, he is a descendant, a direct physical descendant of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit, that is in prophecy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand to make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Who calls who Lord? The greater or the lesser? The greater is called Lord by the lesser. That means Messiah is greater than David. So what Messiah wants him to think about is, the Lord has always been. So he came before David. Even though he was born in the flesh, a descendant of David. Let's look at Numbers chapter 24. Don't look at your watches. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Numbers 24:17. I see him being Messiah, but not now, meaning in the future. I behold him, but not near, meaning it's going to be a long way in the future. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall arise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab. That's about the second coming of the Lord in Revelation 19:11. And destroy all the sons of tumult, that is the descendants of Satan, his army. But notice it calls Messiah a star. In Revelation 22:16, he's called the bright and morning star. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. It's going to come right before Hebrews, isn't it? Nope. Second Peter. There it is. Right after First Peter. I should have known that. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Who's that morning star? Yeshua says in Revelation 22:16, that's me. And we won't go to Job 38, verse 7 for time. We'll just go back to Revelation 22, verse 17, which says, and the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that is the believers and Messiah, say, come, that is, we invite others to be saved by faith and then enter into a walk that honors God. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life, we read about that already in John chapter 7 at the Simchat Beit HaShoevah ceremony on Hoshana Rabbah. We also need to look at Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 is about Messiah returning to earth and physically ruling and reigning on earth amongst the people. And is the source of the house of the water pouring ceremony that we read about in John chapter 7. Doing the short version, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. Salvation is Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid, for Adonai, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, my Yeshua. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's why it says in verse 17 of Revelation 22, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Back in Revelation 22, verse 18, it says, for, because I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That should send chills up your spine. Turn back to Deuteronomy 4. It's not the first time God's told us not to take away from or add to his word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It just goes to the fact that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is eternal and important. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. You have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. That's a threat. And then in Deuteronomy 12:32, he reiterates the same principle. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, whatever I command you, meaning everything I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. I have lots of people email me and say, but I don't want to do these commandments. I want to do this other thing instead. Surely that's okay. God says it's not. But we all get to choose. Let's go back and finish Revelation 22, which finishes Revelation. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Yeshua. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:8. Peter helps us understand these words. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. There are people who read these words, surely I'm coming quickly, and say this must have happened 2,000 years ago. But no, what does 2 Peter 3:8 say? It says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's not a question of will it come. It will just come when the time has been ordained. In the last reference, Hosea chapter 6, the word Hosea, the name Hosea, means salvation. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. It just reminds us that there's 2,000 years between the first coming and the second. It says, after 2 days, that is after 2,000 years, he will revive us. On the third day, that's the millennial kingdom, the day of the Lord, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. So back to Revelation 22 for the last verse. Says, the grace of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah be with you all. Amen. Which is just his closing salutation. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.